Well, graduates, I hope you enjoyed those songs. I know I did. The last one's enough just to go ahead and listen to as a message. Man, good stuff. Well, graduates, break open that brand new Bible you have and go all the way to the book of Philippians. If I had my game plan together, I would have already put your bookmarkers there. But I didn't. And as you open them, you'll find cards in those from myself or Miss Colleen. And it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to preach your graduation charge tonight. And I appreciate Pastor Dan allowing me the opportunity on a Sunday night to come and be able to do this for our graduates. And as the Word of God is to all of us, it just because the charge is to our graduates, it applies to all of us. And I want to challenge you graduates tonight with a message here in Philippians chapter 1. We've had a lot of years to grow closer together. Some of you, I've had my entire time here at the church to know you and your families and grow closer to you. Some of you that have come because of a friend or somebody who invited you, you've only been here for a few years or, you know, not quite as long as the other ones. But the point is that I've had the opportunity to grow relationships with each and every one of you and know you in some way, in some manner, that just as much as I know that some of you have made mention in the card that you wrote that Colleen and I have had impacts on your life, you guys too have had an impact on our life. And I can't help to think that as I recall all the things in the time that we spent together, knowing that as graduates, though you're not necessarily leaving my life or my presence, you know, some of you staying here at Crossroads, it is kind of a thought that I'm not going to have the amount of time maybe to spend with you as I have because we won't have Wednesday nights, we won't have camps. I know that some of you are mad at me because your summer camp ended last year at the summer camp because now you're moving on into your singles. But I want you to know that my heart is burdened to see you guys continue to grow. Not grow physically or grow with your education in college, but to grow spiritually. I've had such the privilege to see the Word of God change your lives, because I know it wasn't me, I know it wasn't Crossroads, and I know it wasn't the faithful leaders that you have had teach you on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and camps. It's been the Word of God that has been presented to you that has changed you. And I think the Apostle Paul saw that in the Philippians and what had taken place, and he loved that church and the change that had taken place. And I want you to catch up with me here to Philippians chapter 1 and look with me at the situation Paul was faced with here, and starting in verse 23. Our text is 27 through 29, but I want you to see something here in verse 23. He says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul's desire was greatest to see the people rooted and grounded in Christ. He wanted to be with Christ. He loved his Savior, and he couldn't wait for the day that he was going to be with him. But he knew that while he had life here, he had time and opportunity to invest and impact people's lives. And he had done that with the church at Philippi. And as he had done that, now he was looking to see them continue to grow, because at this point in his life, Paul was in prison. He couldn't go to the Philippians. He wanted to, and he was hoping that at some point he would be able to revisit them. And that's where we come to here in verse 27. I want you guys to see, because he tells them that he has a confidence in verse 25. "I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." But verse 27 is where I want us to start our focus tonight. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God." And I'm going to stop right there, because, graduates, what I want you to understand tonight is that I know that I'm not going to be able to spend the time that I have been able to spend over the years with you. I know that Miss Colleen and all of the leaders that I could go through and name that have invested in you, we're not going to have as much time to invest in you, but here's what our desire is. Our desire is much like the Apostle Paul's here in Philippians, when he said that, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs." Our desire, I know my desire, is that whether I see you here in Daytona Beach or you move off somewhere else sometime down the road, that I hear of the affairs that you have in the gospel of Christ. I hear of the life that you have been living, surrendered to Christ and making an impact everywhere you go, whether it be in church doors or outside the church doors, but the impact is for Christ. That is my desire. And so what I want you to understand tonight, and it's for every graduate, but really every believer, must strive to live a life revealing what Christ has done in them. That's what we see here in this text. When Paul says, only let your conversation, that word conversation is speaking of your lifestyle, your actions, who you are and what you do as a person. Paul said, let your lifestyle, let your actions, let who you are be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Don't make Christ have paid for all of your sins on that cross so that you could take advantage of it and take it for granted. He wants you to take advantage of it and live a life that glorifies Him. And graduates, as you step out, this is my desire, is that I hear of these affairs. But the question tonight for all of us is, how can a person live a life that reveals all Christ has done for them? How can we do it? And I believe we get three principles that Paul gave to the Philippians right here when he said that he wanted to see their lives lived in a way that would glorify Christ. Look with me at the first one. The first thing that we're going to see tonight, how can a person live a life that reveals Christ, what Christ has done in them? Number one is by standing in and on the one true Spirit. The one true Spirit. Paul says in Philippians 1:27, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one, what's the word? Spirit. Paul wants to hear that they're standing fast in one spirit. One spirit, graduates. The word stand fast, just since you are graduates now, you can handle a little bit more knowledge, okay? If we take that word stand fast and look at what it was in the Greek, it was steko. The word steko, which means to be stationary or unmovable, where we get the word stay. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I have had dogs in my life, and one of the dogs that comes to mind is a golden retriever that I had that I could tell that dog, and her name was Megan, she was a golden retriever, beautiful dog, I could place a biscuit, a dog biscuit, on her nose and tell her to stay and walk away, and I could come back 10, 15 minutes later, and that dog would be sitting in the same spot with a biscuit resting right on the bridge of her nose, waiting for me to just say the word, okay. And she'd flip that biscuit up in the air and catch it. It was the neatest thing. But the cool thing was, is that where she would stay just as she was told. She wouldn't move. She wouldn't allow things around her to cause her to move. She would stay unmovable. Paul said to stand fast. Stand fast, graduates. In today's world, there's a push to get God not only out of public schools and colleges, but out of our lives. Quite frankly, I was listening to a news article or a news report the other day, and there was a young girl individual who was in art class, of all places. And in art class, she decided, the teacher let them draw what they wanted to, and she decided to draw a picture of the American flag. And on the American flag, she wrote the words, God bless America. Teacher was offended. The teacher was offended and told her she had to stop and took the project away from her. Because the teacher was offended. Now, the teacher never told her what she was offended by. They approached the teacher, but I think we all know what she was offended by. She wasn't offended by red, white, and blue. She was offended by the words, God bless America, written on this girl's paper in class. And you see, what we're up against is a world, teenagers, graduates, that is trying to take God out of everything possible in your life. But the Bible says you're to stand fast in one spirit, even though the very world and society you live in is going to try to knock that spirit out from under your feet. But the beauty is they can't. They can't knock the Spirit of God out of your life. They cannot knock that one Spirit out from under your feet. You can stand fast and you can stand on that one Spirit. You know, Paul desired to see these Philippians, and he was more interested in hearing of their good reports and their faith and the ability to be established in the life of Christ, unmovable. You know, in today's society, not only are they going to try to knock the rock out from under, they're going to try to replace it with something else. You know, you've got Buddha out here in America, where people will try to replace Christ with Buddha or with Hinduism, or they'll replace him with Confucianism and all of these different things. They'll say, oh, just stand on this. But graduates, you stand on that, you're going to fall, you're going to sink, you're going to be in trouble. There's one spirit to stand in. The Bible's clear. Paul said, when I hear of your affairs, I want to hear that you're standing fast in one spirit. We heard this morning, as Pastor Dan, if you were here, and he was speaking of Israel, you know what? They desired everything of the people around them. The other countries and things around, they wanted what they had, including their gods. But God says, I am one God. And Paul told the church there at Philippi that I want to know that you're standing on one spirit. You know, he says the same thing over in Ephesians chapter 4. For sake of time, I'll flip over there. If you want to go there, that's fine. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he gives the same idea. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy. That same idea of you live a lifestyle that's approved and acceptable by God. He says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And then here's the kicker. Ephesians 4, 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity being oneness, because in verse 4 he says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Graduates, tonight here I have the privilege to know of the salvation of all of you. Some of you have had part in it. Some of you I've just been able to watch and know the leaders that led you. And I know that you have trusted in the one true God and the one Spirit that's going to give you eternal life. Because of the life that Christ gave to you on the cross, as we sang, the power of the cross. As Christ died for your sins, and you took that personal, realizing that you were a sinner, that you had gone against God, and you have committed sin against God, and you knew that the only way to be made right, you couldn't earn it, you couldn't work for it, you couldn't have somebody else provide it for you, except for the only one that was truly sinless, the Son of God, who gave His life on the cross in your place. And as you trust in Him now, graduates, and you go out, I want you to know that you do not need to be moved off of that one Spirit. God's Word says to stand fast, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. You know, a rock cannot be moved. A large enough rock cannot be moved. But you can be easily pulled off that rock. And graduates, this is what I want to warn you about tonight. For sake of time, I won't do it, but I wanted to do an illustration where I could stand here on this platform and have Arlen or Richard, our two larger guys here, try to pull me off this platform. Wouldn't be too difficult. If I stood up here and I let them grab my hands and then pull me, chances are they're going to put me right down on my face. Hopefully they would catch me, but normally I would go right down to my face. But to have them try to move the platform wouldn't be possible. It's too large, too heavy, too rooted and grounded onto the foundation of this church, and they could not move it. But they could get me off of it. And so Paul was telling the Philippians, hey, because Paul knew that Christ wasn't going to move, but he knew that they could be pulled off the rock, the one true Spirit. And so he tells them to stand fast. Hey, as long as you're standing on it, it's not going to go anywhere. But this leads to point number two, because you say, okay, well, that means I can be pulled off the rock. But let's look at the next thing that Paul says in Philippians. Look with me at the next part of verse 27. He says that ye stand fast in one spirit. But then the next phrase, he says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I love this point as Paul brings out, because in here, as he's speaking to the Philippians, he uses that word striving together. Graduates, a little more Greek for you. Go and look up that word striving together, and you're going to get soon athleo. Now, where do you think we get the word athleo? What do we get from the word athleo? Athletic. Athlete. And so the word soon athleo simply meant contend together. Contend as an athlete would. As an athlete in a football game or a basketball game or a boxing match or whatever it would be, they would contend. They would fight. They would strive for victory. But Paul was telling the Philippians, he wasn't telling them to do it on their own power, by themselves. He told them to do it together. Graduates, some of you leaving Daytona, at some point in your life, you probably will leave Daytona. Or something's going to happen at some point where you may not have the youth group around you anymore, the people that were from the youth group that you were in. But I want to tell you right now, that does not give you any right to not keep godly Christian friendships around you. You're going to have them. In order for us to be able to hear good reports in the affairs of your life, listen, graduates, you're going to have to make sure wherever, Orlando, UCF, Daytona Beach, Brevard Community College, wherever it is that you go, you're going to have to make sure that you have some other like-minded Christians with you that can help build you up and strengthen you on the one true Spirit that you stand. Paul told them to strive together with one mind. So there's two things out of this point I want you to see real quick. Because look over at Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be, what's the word? Like-minded. He tells them to be like-minded. Having the same joy, being of one accord, of one, what's the word? Mind. He goes through in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look, not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Could you imagine for a minute, graduates, if everyone in this room, if everyone in this city no longer thought about themselves, but thought about everybody else? We'd see a city full of people like Christ that did not think of himself, but everybody else. That's the mind that we're to have. Hey, when you go to college, if you find somebody that's all about themselves, run. Miss Colleen had a roommate that was all about herself, and she found her clothes all over the campus where this, wherever this girl went. She took Colleen's clothes out of her closet and wore her outfits because I guess she liked them better than hers. I don't know. I never had that problem with my roommates. But the point being is you want to make sure you find somebody who is like-minded, who's not all about themselves, but is about others, because that's the mind of Christ. We see it in Philippians chapter 2. He says to have one mind. So we need to make sure we put people around us who are like-minded. Just like Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 8 this morning, when we follow that, what happened with them as they went through, they desired to see what everybody else had, and they didn't want to listen to what God wanted in his mind. They wanted to see what everybody else wanted. They wanted to have what they wanted. It wasn't with that one mind. But the second thing that I want you to get, not only having the one mind, but you're going to have to work together. Okay, just having a bunch of Christian friends is not going to be enough. You're going to have to work together. Hey, you know what? We could all right now take everybody in here, put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, go hide in a rock, and what good is that going to do? It's not going to do anything. We can hide in a rock. Sure, we could sing praises to God. We could talk about the Bible. We could study it. But we're not going to reach anybody. We're not going to help anybody in need. We're going to sit in a rock. That's not what Paul was saying here in Philippians. He told it that what he wanted to hear was that they were striving together. You know what I would love to hear is 2 years from now that I hear that some of you graduates right here have pulled together with some other, maybe graduates from Crossroads or somewhere else, and now you're out serving the Lord together. You're fighting together. You're staying away from all the other junk that the world's trying to tell you, hey, stand on this spirit or go with this one, get rid of that one, and say, no, we're going to stand right here with Christ, and we're going to stand together, and not only are we going to stand, but we're going to do some work together. We're going to strive. We're going to contend. We're not just going to sit back and be complacent. Because you know that same illustration, if I stood here and I let these two guys pull me off, it wouldn't be too difficult to pull me off, but if I had the 9 girls grab hold of some ropes and hold me back, it's not going to be real easy to pull me off. I don't think they could pull me off, but, you know, anyhow. But if I had some help and these girls were striving together with me, it wouldn't be enough for them to pull me off because we could strive together. And together is what we need to do in Christ. We need to strive together in Christ for His glory, for His honor. Because, hey, if we don't strive together, we're going to fall quick. And that's what Paul was desiring. Paul knew what the Philippians were up against, so we'll see it here in a second. But as Paul knew what they were going to face, he knew that they had to stand on one spirit because people were going to come in and try to knock that spirit out from under them. And then not only that, they were going to have to stand together, strive together, work together against that life. But the third thing that we see from the text tonight, not only are we going to have to stand on one spirit, strive together, but the third thing in verse 28, he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know what Paul was saying here is, don't be afraid of the ones that are going to come and try to bring persecution. Don't be afraid of the ones that are going to say, hey, you can't write God bless America on a piece of paper. Hey, you can't carry a piece of money that says God bless America. Hey, you can't carry anything that says anything about God. In fact, there's a university now that somebody is suing because on their diplomas it says, whatever the year is, the year of the Lord. They want to take the Lord off of that. Listen, teenagers, don't be afraid. God said, don't be afraid. And you know what? Fear is truly, I want you to everybody search their heart for a minute, because this is what I feel, is most of the time fear is simply just a result of a self-will desire. Hey, if this is what I want, and I might not get it if I do that, and then all of a sudden fear sets in, and, well, I just won't say anything because that might lead me to not get what I want out of it. It's back to that self-inward desires. It's back to, if you're worried about what others will think of you and how they're going to react, well, then maybe I just shouldn't make that decision. But Paul said, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You want to get real deep? You know what that word in nothing means? In nothing. There's nothing that we should be afraid of our adversaries in. Hey, we know the Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary. But God says, in nothing you should be afraid of him. Why? Because Paul says to Timothy over in 1 Timothy, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Hey, fear didn't come from God. God says, you don't need to fear your adversaries. Have a respectful fear of me. But you don't fear Satan. You don't fear your adversaries. And that's what Paul knew. Paul knew that if they feared their adversaries, they would cower, they would hide, and they would not have a report for Paul to hear of. And so he's challenging them to not allow their adversaries. You know, most of you are 18 years old. And I'd love to stand up here and say, hey, just hang on for a couple of more years because things are going to get better. They're going to bring God back into the schools. They're going to, you know, they're going to open up all kinds of things for the gospel to go out, and the government's just going to be on fire. We're going to have a Christian president that's going to turn it all around. I'd love to be able to tell you that. But more than likely, because you being 18 years old, back about 20 years ago, evolution wasn't really taught in the schools. Today it is. God wasn't kicked out of the schools. Today he is. I know that he wasn't liked in the schools back then, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. And so what I want to say is don't look at it and say, well, I can't do anything and just back up. No, you know what you can do? You can do what's right for you. You can say, you know what? I'm not going to let God get kicked out of my life. It might be okay for you to kick him out of where you're at, but I'm not going to let him be kicked out of where I'm at. And but as long as you've got Christ with you, then hey, stand on it. Find some others that are standing on it and stand together. And don't allow anything to come your way, graduate or Christian, and be afraid of it. What Paul said here was he wanted to hear a good report. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Well, in order for that conversation to become the gospel, to bring the honor and glory to God, graduates, you're going to have to turn from that fear. You're going to have to stand together. I love in verse 29, Paul says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Hey, who gave it? Who gave it? Graduates, stay with me. Who gave it according to that verse? Christ. I love the song we sing, Christ gave it all. You know what? Christ gave it. And it's to us and it's up to us on the behalf of Christ who gave it all, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Hey, you know what? Sometimes it might hurt a little bit to have to give up some pride or some respect or some popularity for Christ. That's okay. That shouldn't hurt, honestly. Because what the Philippians were facing was something far different. What the Philippians were facing was what they had already seen Paul go through. And we don't have time for it, but you can go back to the book of Acts. And when he goes into Philippi, you can see how they were beaten and thrown in prison. Praise God, Paul and Silas come through that. And we see the Philippian jailer saved because of their willingness to stand firm. Stand together. And not be afraid of the adversaries. And you know what? The prison guard got saved from it all. Because they applied what they're trying to tell the Philippians to hold on to. Graduates, Christians, those of us that know Christ as our Savior and put our faith and trust in him, hold to those things, and you know what? The affairs of our life are going to glorify and represent Jesus Christ, and others will hear. Graduates, whether it be a month from now, a year from now, or 10 years from now, I want to hear about the affairs of your life and how they represent and please God. I want to hear of a good testimony. I want to hear that you've taken the Word of God and you applied it in your life in such a way that it impacted others. Those of you that work with the children's ministry already, don't take that for granted. What an opportunity. And you girls that work in there at 11 o'clock, I've seen what it's meant to my little girl. It means so much. Don't overlook that opportunity. Find some others wherever you go and stand together. When you're given more freedom to choose without the influence of your parents or without the influence of your youth leaders, this is what oftentimes scares me about graduation, is your true heart begins to show. Graduates, I hope that a heart for the Lord is a heart for the Lord no matter whose house you're in, no matter what church you're in, no matter what friends you have around. Your heart doesn't change. You graduates know for so many years I've talked about your circumstances should not dictate your faith. It can't. Do you see the key word here tonight in verse 27? Look at it one more time with me. I think the key word here in this passage tonight is simply this. When Paul tells them, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know what they had to do? They had to make a choice. Paul told them to let their conversation, let their lifestyle become. Now, graduates, it's up to you. Christians, it's up to us to let our lives be a life that glorifies and honors God. He gives us principles to follow so that we can do it, but it's up to us to let it happen. And graduates, he deserves it all. He deserves us to let him have it all and live that life that glorifies him. Let's do this now. Let's bow our heads and let's close in a word of prayer.